CMO Roundtable,
the podcast where we talk to CMOs and marketing professionals to find out what's working, what isn't, and how you can leverage their expertise to improve your marketing and conversions. Now, let's welcome our host, number one best-selling author and co-founder of Conversion Fanatics, Justin Christensen.
All right, welcome everybody, this is your host, Justin Christensen from CMO Roundtable, and today we've got an absolutely amazing guest. He's somebody that was very pivotal in my early on days in my marketing career, which is now going on, I guess, 15 years. But our guest is one of the world's most expensive and sought-after business consultants. His clients seek his ability to integrate engineering, sales, art, and psychology. He launched two movements in modern marketing. His Google AdWords book laid the foundation for more than $100 billion pay-per-click industry, and his techniques have pioneered, you know, standard best practices. He wrote the world's best-selling book on web advertising, The Ultimate Guide to Google AdWords, and most recently, an amazing book is he turned 80-20 into a verb, and his book, 80-20 Sales and Marketing, is mandatory in many growing companies, and his books and course material I have made it into several business schools. He's got many other publications, such as The Ultimate Guide to Facebook Advertising, The Evolution 2.0, and Industrial Ethernet. So without further ado, Perry Marshall, how are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks, Justin. It's great to be on your show, and it's great to be with a conversion wizard. And I think we're going to have a great time, you know, just shooting the ball about how to squeeze more juice out of those oranges out there.
Yeah, everybody wants more juice for sure. So 80-20, you made it a verb. I know what it is, but for our listeners, can you say what is the 80-20 rule?
So when I was a sales manager a long time ago, somebody mentioned this to me and they said, hey, 20% of your customers give you 80% of your sales and the other 80% of your customers only give you 20% of the sales. And I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. And I actually printed out a QuickBooks report. I was like, I'll be darned. Like, I took my calculator and I went from, you know, the biggest customer down. And yeah, that's right. When I get to about 80% of the revenue, that's, yeah, it's true. And I think a lot of people have heard that. And it's a truism in economics that 20% of the people have 80% of the money or own 80% of the real estate. And a guy named Pareto figured that out about 100 years ago. So people call that the 80-20 principle. What I didn't realize for many years was that it's not just a business rule of thumb, because that's all I thought it was. I didn't really see the significance of it. It's actually a law of nature. Almost everything has an 80-20 pattern to it. We could be talking about the streets in your town and which street, the 20% of the streets that get 80% of the traffic. We could talk about the tree in your front yard and 20% of the branches have 80% of the sap flowing through them. Or we could be talking about the carpet through your living room where 20% of the carpet gets 80% of the traffic. This is true all over the place. It's true, like your hard drive. If your hard drive gets full and you got to delete some files, well, 20% of the files take up 80% of the gigabytes. And see, there's some very deep reasons, kind of scientific reasons that I don't know if you want to go into or not. But this is absolutely everywhere. And so if you're managing Google campaigns, like you mentioned my Google book or Facebook, you'll find these 80-20 patterns in just about every column of data in any marketing campaign or just about everything that happens in a business. And now, why should you care? Well, the reason you should care is that there are levers inside of levers inside of levers. And if you can read the tea leaves of those numbers or those cause and effect patterns, you'll find little tiny things that make huge, huge differences. And you'll find that most things actually don't matter and most things that you can just ignore. So what happened to me was, it was in 2003, actually, I read Richard Koch's book, The 80-20 Principle. And it, there was this one little comment that he made that he, Richard never directly referred to this fact, but just this little side comment he made, it fired a synapse in my brain. And I suddenly realized, hey, wait a minute, there's an 80-20 inside every 80-20. And then there's another one, and there's another one, and there's another one. It's like those M.C. Escher staircases, okay? And oh my goodness, wait a minute. So that means if 20% of my files on my hard drive take 80% of the space, that also means that 20% of the 20% take up 80% of the 80%. And 20 or the 20 of the 20 take up 80 of the 80. So what that means, for example, Justin, that means that 1% of your customers generate 50% of your sales. That means that in a Google AdWords campaign, you could have 20,000 keywords, but you probably get more traffic from 10 of those keywords than the other 19,990. And that if you want to optimize a Google campaign, you can optimize 10 keywords and ignore the rest, and you'll be 80 to 90% optimized already. I used this to become the top dog in the Google AdWords space, which was just absolutely brutally competitive. And when I decided to write the 80-20 book, I said, let's see if people actually want to understand the secret sauce behind the secret sauce, like what would happen if we actually told people how the world actually works. And what ended up happening was I've got this following of 80-20 fanatics that think it's just absolutely fascinating, kind of apply it to everything. And, you know, we take our magnifying glasses and our microscopes and our pocket protectors and whatever little geeky things, the propeller heads and, you know, and all that fun stuff. And we deconstruct the world, and, you know, and we got a bunch of people in our tribe. They're building really profitable businesses, or they're running really kick-ass consulting companies, and they're going around and solving problems. And welcome to my little cult world of 80-20 fanatics.
Well, I love it, because it's something I preach all day, every day. It is the 80-20 principle, and it's something I've done for years. So I'm glad you really shed more light and are building that cult. So what did you mean by people need to stop thinking in averages?
Okay. So everybody is trained to think about the average, right? So you took a test when you were in grade school, and the average was a 79, and the teacher scolded everybody because it should have been an 86, and, you know, and all of that. And so, like, if you give a bunch of kids a science test and the average is a 79, we can all understand why the teacher cares about what the average is. But if you actually want to hire a scientist out of that class, you don't give a flying rip what the average is. You only care how good the best two or three kids in the class are, and you don't care about any of the other 30 kids in the class at all, because you're not going to hire them. And what's interesting is that, and most people don't quite realize this until I say it out loud, but if I get a group of 30 kids and one or two of them are really actually science geeks, those science geeks are not 50% or 100% better at science than the other kids in the class. They're actually 1,000 or maybe 10,000% better than all the other kids in the science class. They will do 10 times more, 100 times more, 1,000 times more science than all the rest of them. Or the difference between a okay computer programmer and a really good computer programmer literally can be 1,000 to 1, especially when you actually measure how much software are they going to sell? How much do people actually want to buy? How well does it compete in the marketplace against all the other software that's out there? And so everything in business is actually exponential, and people don't realize this. And so they don't realize the difference between an average employee and a great one, or an average salesperson and a great one. Or they think like you hire 10 salespeople. 80-20 tells you that if you hire 10 salespeople, two of them will sell 80% of what gets sold and the other eight will sell 20% of what gets sold, which means the two are 16 times better salespeople than the other eight. Now, if you're trained in a traditional education system, like you went to public school, your natural inclination will be to fix the other eight. No. You fire the other eight. Sorry to use that word, but you got to do it. And you take all your energy and you put it into the two that are winning.
Yeah.
In fact, maybe like, okay, have you ever had a job where like you're a sales guy and they nag you about like these expense reports and this paperwork and, you know, all of this administrative garbage? You know, if they were smart and if you're a good sales guy and they had any brains, they would hire you one assistant, two assistants. They'd get you duct tape. They'd get you baling wire. They would do anything they could do to take all that crap off, you know, and stop annoying you with all that stuff so that you could just go out and sell.
Yeah.
And that's 80-20 thinking. It's amplifying, you know, that one person who's 1,000% better than everybody else. Like, okay, so let's amplify that guy or that gal to the nth degree. That's 80-20 thinking.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's what, I mean, just pour fuel on the fire. I mean, it's essentially what it is.
That's right. And now it also, you can also flip it around and you can use it to look at the bad stuff. So if 80% of the complaints come from 20% of the complainers, 50% of the complaints come from 1% of the complainers, and 50% of the support tickets come from 1% of the customers, and 50% of the expense in the warranty department comes from 1% of the product defects. And what are they? Like, well, there's probably, you know, out of a list of 100 product defects that you've ever seen, one of them costs you more money than almost all the other ones put together. So you don't have to fix 100 product defects. You have to fix one or two or three. You don't have to get rid of half of your customers. You can get rid of 5% of your customers and half of your headaches or more will go away. And so you can apply this all kinds of places. And once you start to see this, it's everywhere.
You've got my mind racing like crazy right now.
My idea, what it would be a successful outcome of this podcast is if by the time we're done, some of the people listening are just starting to see the pattern. Like, hey, wait a minute, that's everywhere. I want to get that book. I want to get into that mode of thinking. There's all kinds of problems we could solve, and we don't need like what happens if you start applying 80-20 to the healthcare problems in different countries? What happens if you apply 80-20 to government waste? What happens if, I mean, this is everywhere. You can do it in your church. You can do it in your neighborhood. You can do it in your homeowners association. And you can do it in your business.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is everywhere. I mean, now that you said that, I mean, I always just thought of it in business and really never thought about it outside of that. So that's a big takeaway for me.
It is everywhere. And then maybe to put a little finer point on it, you know, it's not always 80 and 20. It could be 70, 30. Occasionally it'll be 60, 40. A lot of times, though, it's 90, 10 or 95, 5 or 99, 1. So like, I believe that in your past you did a lot of affiliate marketing stuff.
Yeah.
If you have affiliates, it's 99-1. Literally 99% of your sales will come from 1% of your affiliates, and most affiliates literally will not sell anything at all. Or like in keywords, in pay-per-click and Google AdWords, 95% of the traffic goes to 5% of the keywords. So But the point is you always have these inequalities. Nothing is equal.
Mm-hmm.
And again, people are conditioned by the culture and by education to treat everything equal, to treat everybody equal. No.
Mm-hmm.
No. No, your employees are not equal. Your salespeople are not equal. Your close friends are not equal. your support tickets aren't equal. The incoming phone calls are not equal. The minutes in your day are not equal. And so if you start to apply this, what you find is you really ought to be doing a lot less stuff than you are doing.
that's a major
not
one.
More. I mean, so most people live in the world of more is more. No, less is more.
It's leverage. It's
leverage. Less is more. And, you know, it's not something that's something. Actually, having open space is something.
That's interesting. So what did you mean by bleeding neck, and why is it important?
This is a phrase from my book, 80-20 Sales and Marketing, and with this list called the 5 Power Disqualifiers. And this is a really ingenious thing because it's the 5 things that are always true anytime anybody sells anything. Okay? And here's what they are. Number 1, they have the money. Number 2, they have a bleeding neck, which I'll get to in a second. Number 3, they buy into your unique selling proposition. Number 4, they have the ability to say yes. Because remember, a lot of people only have the ability to say no. They can stop you, but they can't give you a green light, right? Mm-hmm. And then number 5 is it fits their overall plans. So let's go back to the top and start at the top. If they don't have the money, they're not going to buy anything.
Yeah.
Now, as obvious as that sounds, I mean, I spent fully 2, 3, 4 years of my sales career. Somehow, I don't know if I believed in magic beans or what, but I would go talk to these people and I would just somehow believe that if I was good enough, if I was smart enough, if they liked me enough, if that somehow the money would appear. Like, no, if they don't have the money, they're not buying it. Well, then bleeding neck. So if you break your arm and you go to the emergency room, you may think that you are having a dire emergency, but when you walk in the door, they will hand you a clipboard and you'll sit down next to a bunch of women's magazines in the waiting room, and an hour and a half later, they'll call your name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay? It's like, well, I thought I was having a major emergency. I guess they don't think I'm having a major emergency. On the other hand, if some guy comes stumbling in there and blood is squirting out of his aorta onto the ceiling, they will not give him a clipboard, and they will take him right in there and somebody will attend to him right away.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay, that's a bleeding neck. It's urgency. Okay? And whenever you're selling something, the question is, do they urgently want this or need it or not? Now, just kind of a important thing that I think every smart marketer needs to know is that if you're selling prevention, that's good. We all believe in prevention,
mm-hmm.
but prevention is not urgency. Now, cure, that is urgency, right?
Yeah.
So we're going to eat right and we are not going to get heart disease. That is prevention and it is not urgent. However, if some guy like just had a heart attack, that is super urgent. And there, you'll make 16 times more money curing problems than you will preventing them. And so I would suggest to anybody, like if you're trying to make your business work and it's not working, I would ask the question, well, are you selling preventions when you really could be selling cures at 16 times the price? And you're like, well, cures are really hard to administer. I know they are. Yeah, I know. I know triple bypass is expensive, but see?
Yeah.
Like, why is it expensive, right? Because when you need one, like, right now.
Yeah, it doesn't matter the cost at that point.
No, it does. It really doesn't. And so, you know, there's kind of a pragmatism of, hey, I'm not going to live in the should-be world anymore. I'm going to live in the is world. And yeah, if I know how to prevent stuff, then I'm going to do as good a job as I reasonably can of getting customers. You know, if I'm a dentist, I'm going to try to get people to brush their teeth. But, you know, if they didn't brush their teeth and they come in with a bunch of cavities, I'm going to whack them for $800.
Yeah.
And this is the way the world works. And good marketers just kind of roll with the way the world is instead of wishing that it was some other way. And the world just starts to get a whole lot easier to deal with. And that is precisely the 80-20 mindset. How much money are you going to make giving people toothbrushes?
Nothing.
Right. Right. So, you know, it's a token gesture of goodwill, and, you know, God bless the people that brush their teeth.
Yeah.
But man, I'm going to make the money on the ones that don't.
Yeah. 80-20.
And I bet probably the number of people that don't brush their teeth is probably 20%. That's mm-hmm. probably about the number.
Awesome. Well, where does social media and AdWords fit into all this?
Okay. So, social media, you know, when the 80-20 book came out, social media advertising was still a little flaky. It's gotten to be really good now. And, you know, it used to be maybe a third of the businesses out there could reasonably expect to use Facebook and get it to work right. Now, almost anybody can get Facebook to work, but you know, we made a little quiz, and it's at isfbforme.com, which is Facebook for me. And you can go there and you can click a few buttons, and within 30 seconds, it'll give you a score from 1 to 10 on how Facebook compatible your business is. And we give you a little report to explain it, but you know, there are a lot of things that you can do to make a business more social media friendly or more social media compatible, like doing events, even if you're not normally in an event-oriented business. You know, like Facebook could give you a great excuse to have a wine and cheese party, even if your business has nothing whatsoever to do with wine and cheese, because it's an event and it happens at a specific time. And things like that lend themselves very nicely to social media. There's a chapter in the book where I explain that there's this kind of a continuum where you start out with the most laser targeted media that you can find, and you rifle shot, or even like a marksman, you know, like you just laser in on the most exact right customer for you right now. And then as you get those media to work and you get those up and running, then you start expanding to broader and broader and less focused media. And at some point you'll get out to a level where it kind of stops to work, and then you stop. But you don't start with the unfocused media. You start with the laser rifle type media. So, Google AdWords very often is a laser rifle media. So, you know, if you're an orthodontist and people are searching for an orthodontist, then you want to appear when they type in that search. That's very laser targeted, right? Mm-hmm. Or if you can define the right kind of audience on Facebook, then you can laser focus on those people, and advertise to those, and you can be in their news feed every single day for surprisingly little money.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So this is I know you're big on it, but talk a little bit about testing and why the results are just exponential.
Okay. So there's a really interesting thing that happens when you apply 80-20 to testing. If you put 80-20 on a graph, what it looks like is it looks like one of those hockey stick curves, except instead of like just kind of soaring on to the upper right side, it actually goes almost straight up, like straight up vertical.
Hmm.
Okay. And And this is like, if you're a numbers person, if you enjoy and you relate to numbers, this is the most important thing that you'll ever get out of 80-20 sales and marketing. In fact, I have a whole appendix that I added to the book just for the numbers geeks, because this is really powerful. So think of it like this. 20% of your ads are going to get 80% of the traffic. Okay. Mm-hmm. And 4% of your ads are going to get 64% of the traffic, and 1% of your ads are going to get 50% of the traffic. So let's take that one right there. 1% of your ads will get 50% of your traffic. Well, that means that those 1% are probably 10 times better than all the other ones, right?
Yeah.
Or if not more. So what happens if you test 100 ads and you actually have a protocol, so you're not just like testing kind of the same things over and over again, except they only look slightly different. You actually are testing different things. You will arrive at combinations that are exponentially better, more efficient, more effective, more attractive, convert better than all the rest. But it only happens if you work the numbers, and it only happens if you have a plan, like kind of a almost like a matrix of, all right, I'm going to test black versus white. I'm going to test, you know, gray versus color. I'm going to test happy versus sad. I'm going to, you know, like, you kind of make all these opposites and you start running through all of them. You don't just test things willy-nilly.
Mm-hmm.
You will. So in A/B split testing of ads, landing pages, emails, what have you, you will find these golden combinations that are just scary responsive. And you only do that if you do what I just described. Now, you're a conversion maven, so mm-hmm. like, you've seen this like every day of your life.
Yeah, you know, we've seen the almost 2,000% increases, you know, it just by finding that winning combination.
In fact, what people don't realize is that a 2x improvement in sales conversion, when it all comes out in the wash and all of the economics of the business shake out, a 2x in sales conversion actually ends up being a 4 to 8x in market share and total sales.
Yeah, everything compounds, and not a lot of people really understand that, I don't think.
But that's because of 80-20. See, 80-20 is all about the fact that everything in business is actually exponential. It's not linear. So it's not like 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 3. It's more like 10 times 10 times 10 is 1,000. That's what's really going on.
I'm going to record. I'm going to take just that snippet that you just said and play it on loop to all my clients.
Well, and so the key is, you know, if you're a consultant, the key is that you carry it all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
You have to communicate to your client that there is a whole process here, and the end stages of the process are exponential, but we have to get there.
Yeah.
Right. And so there's just so much that people don't know, and most people are just living in a fog, and it's, well, kind of sad, but it's true.
Awesome. Well, I've got one more kind of question that I always like to ask all of my guests, and what are your predictions for digital marketing in the next year?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, so I think the world is divided into two groups of people. There's the 95% and the 5%. The 95%, frankly, they want to live in the matrix. They do not want Morpheus to wake them up. They do not want to be Neo. They do not want to be a hero. They want to be hypnotized. And like, that's just how it's going to be. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's 95% of the world. And they want to sleepwalk. They are sleepwalking. They will be sleepwalking. That's just how it is. Then there's the 5% that are not sleepwalking. They are wide awake. And the 5% have to step outside of the matrix. And you have to do two things. You have to pull the levers that run the matrix, and you have to not live in the matrix. And one of my predictions, and I'm already certainly seeing this with my customers, is that the wide awake people are actually unplugging from social media. I don't have a Facebook app on my phone, mm-hmm. except for the advertising one. I don't participate in Facebook. Okay. I think it's for the hypnotized masses. Okay. But mm-hmm. I run a Facebook advertising account and I get hypnotized masses to respond to my stuff all the time. Okay. And that's my prediction, is that's what the smart people do. It's like, if you work in a restaurant, you're a chef, you don't like eat everything. Mm-mm. You cook it.
Yeah.
That's my prediction, Justin.
Awesome. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure. That's all the questions. I mean, I've got lots more questions. We could literally be here all day. But we want to keep the time constraints down. We're right at 30 minutes now. But how can folks connect with you if they want to? Well, they're in listening, they should know who you are. But if they don't and they want to find out more about you, where can they find you?
Well, I have a special offer.
Awesome.
That you can learn a lot from.
We like special offers.
So the 80-20 sales and marketing book, I think everybody should read it. I mean, it's got 4.7 stars, more than 300 reviews on Amazon, huge in Dan Kennedy and Jay Abraham and Michael Gerber and all these, Frank Kern, Jeff Walker, they all endorse the book. It's $15 on Amazon. You can get it for a penny plus shipping on my website. It's $7 in the U.S. At perrymarshall.com/8020. Now here's why you should do that. And there's actually an 80-20 lesson in this. And I would invite you to go buy the book and see what happens next, because you can experience good marketing being done to you. And you can emulate what we do. So first of all, let me explain the rationale. I use this to acquire customers, and I literally tape dollar bills to these books and ship them out in order to capture customers, because it works. Now, I'll tell you a funny little secret. So when you buy the book, it'll take you in an upsell sequence. And then we have some other products, which I highly recommend. I really think they'll help you out. Like 80-20 Productivity Express, for example, is a great course on time management. So, Justin, would you care to guess what percentage of customers take the upsell?
What percentage of the customers? I would say 20.
21.6, actually. Okay. And if you get in my email sequence and you get on my email list, you'll experience what I call the maze, which is an email system that actually self-adjusts to your level of interest. If you don't click on very much stuff, if you don't open very many emails, if you don't ever buy stuff, it'll eventually just go away. If you love it, if you like it, if you click on it, if you buy stuff, you'll get more and more until you reach your saturation level, and then it'll peak out. And so you can learn a great deal if you go buy my book for a penny plus shipping, which will make it $7 in the U.S. You'll learn a lot of stuff, and I really think 80-20 sales and marketing will change your life. It'll totally change the way you see everything in your business.
Agreed. I'm actually going to go back and reread it after talking to you now.
A lot of people read that book 3, 4, 5 times. I don't think you really totally get it until you've maybe read it for the third time. And then it really is in your bones, in your muscle memory, and you can almost succeed more easily by accident than most people do on purpose.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to go back and reread it. I'll link everything in the show notes, all the information. Go buy Perry's book, The 80-20. Sales and marketing for a penny. Can't go wrong there. Pay a few bucks to get it shipped to you. And then see some marketing in action. I know I've been a follower for years. So Perry, thank you very much for being on the show.
Justin, it was an absolute pleasure, and it was a real honor to be on your show. So thank you for hosting me today.
Yeah, awesome. Well, everybody, thanks for listening. If you could be so gracious as to like, rate, share, do all that fun stuff, check out other episodes on iTunes, and we will talk to you again on another episode. Thanks.
Thanks so much for listening to the CMO Roundtable. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to rate us, subscribe, and give us a share. For more information about how you can accelerate your marketing results and to request your in-depth conversion analysis, visit conversionfanatics.com.